Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
Good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Today we have a special show. We have a guest. His name is John Cotton. Now, this is very interesting. We've talked about John Cotton before, although in a way that probably has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but it was on the discussion about contracts, and Gene and I did a show where we discussed contracts. And this is actually the source of where it came from. It started with a conversation with somebody else. And anyway, it's just an interesting how we've come together, because I would not have known who you were until you were introduced. And I think it's an interesting coincidence that we are coming together. You're actually doing a really great project called Family Matters. And although a lot of the work that you're doing is within the GTA or the Toronto area, it will also impact people everywhere that has families. And it's really about, you know, working with families and how to, I guess, bring more harmony into our family situations. So welcome, John.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate you having me on the show.
I you know, I'm really looking forward to this, because I have, you know, we've talked a bit, and I just want you to discuss what this is. I know that you came about it through a landmark program, but tell us about your program. Tell us about this project that you're wanting to put together.
Thanks. Yeah, it's called Family Matters. And as the name sort of implies, it's about starting a conversation between and among families about what really matters to them. For your US-based listeners, many of the Canadian provinces have a holiday in February that's marked a Family Day holiday, or a Heritage Day holiday, an Islander holiday. But several of the provinces have this Family Day holiday in February. And it's sort of a new holiday in Canada within the last 10 years or so. And there's not a lot of tradition around the holiday. And it's a great opportunity to establish a social tradition of really empowering and equipping families to talk about what really matters to them. How do they want to show up? How do we want to live as a family? What's our mission as a family? And what things are we dealing with that we need some help, or we need some practical knowledge and tools to tackle?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So, I mean, our family day, we all have family issues. We all have things that we would like to be able to communicate better. But your vision of this day happening, what do you see? Like, what do you see as the main focus?
Well, Family Day itself, the focus is already for that weekend to encourage families to spend quality time together. And so the project isn't meant to impact or impinge on that in any way. The project is really about building a dialogue, starting a social conversation leading up to that weekend and culminating in some local event that families can attend the week before Family Day here in the local Toronto area, and really just gain the courage, gain the confidence, get some practical tools and knowledge for simple things like how to host an effective family meeting, or get information and some insight into key topics that they might be dealing with, anything from families in transition, dealing with divorce, separation, and loss, to social behaviors for teens that are risky, variety of topics that we're in conversation with different partners about contributing to the event. And then they can take what they gain at that event away and really use it the following week as part of their Family Day experience to enhance whatever they're already doing as a family with those courageous conversations, with an opportunity to talk about, hey, for the coming year, what do we really value? What do we want to focus on? What do we want to create together as a family?
Right. And we can all relate to these topics. We can all relate to this because especially now as we're moving into a holiday season, family becomes kind of important. And we all know what it's like to get, I actually wrote a blog on it just for this month, of just how we get caught up and triggered within our families, because it's, I mean, it is the easiest one for us to be impacted, because they're the ones, you know, that were there when we were very young. And most of us, you know, most of our behaviors, most of the things that really trigger us occurred before the ages of 7. And it becomes a little bit difficult for us to, you know, recognize those patterns, recognize the fact that we, you know, we get caught up in not being able to recognize that, you know, we're continuing on. Like an example, you know, we want our needs to be met, but we're not always aware of what our needs are. You know, sometimes we're feeling abandoned. Sometimes we're feeling unheard. We're being misunderstood. And the holiday season, of course, is a really big one because it triggers a lot of things. We have expectations of what we want to happen during holiday dinners or holiday meetings. And those expectations, of course, carry out, and we're not being conscious of these expectations. We're not being conscious of the needs or the hidden needs that we have. We're not really meeting our own needs. We're expecting others to meet our needs. So it really kind of side rails on us when we're, you know, when we're coming together with our family.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great point. I appreciate, like, holidays, and especially the holiday season coming up, they're like an amplifier. Time spent with family, both the love gets amplified. So the connection and the closeness and the love and appreciation families have for one another gets amplified. But also anything painful, anything emotional, unresolved, needs, elephants in the room that aren't being talked about. All of that gets amplified too at the same time. And so it can be really challenging over the holidays, or say on a family day weekend, for families to really enjoy their time with one another. If they're not empowered to communicate about what they need, what they're facing, what's going on for the family as a whole or between certain members. So yeah, I really appreciate that there's an opportunity there for magnifying the love, but also what gets magnified is anything that stands in the way of that love.
Right. And it's funny because it makes me think of the contract idea. And obviously you probably wouldn't, you know, most people wouldn't think about having a contract with their family. I mean, other than the spiritual contracts that people have. But, you know, it makes it really interesting, because that's what I loved about the idea that you had with regards to creating a contract with your significant other, and, you know, being able to list all the things, and how communication is so important, and how, you know, discussing every week, you know, some of the things that are that aren't meeting your needs, and how, you know, just to be able to keep communication really open and honest and authentic, which is really the problem. I mean, when we consider relationships, when we consider all relationships, whether it's intimate relationships, whether it's coworkers, whether it's our family, you know, we often aren't being authentic. We're often being very caught up in trying to please others. We may not be very aware of what's going on in our own needs and what our expectations are, but it's really about learning how to communicate more effectively.
Yeah. Communication forms so much a part of what I do, and also in my personal life with my partner. That whole basis of a relationship contract really came out of an experience I had, buying my first home. I had this recognition that I had a far clearer and more conscious relationship with my mortgage broker, my bank, around the mortgage that I was getting for this home than I'd ever had in any personal, family, or intimate relationship in my entire life. In fact, for my mortgage, I had this 38-page legal length document that was very clear about what our engagement was all about, how it was going to work, what the responsibilities were, what the bank's duties were, what mine were. And I just had this sobering moment of realizing, like, wow, I've never once put in writing or put my word, under my name, towards any kind of conscious relationship that I wanted to create. And so that was really kind of, I mean, it was humbling, but it was also quite empowering and sobering, because a relationship contract doesn't have to be 38 legal pages. In fact, I would probably discourage most people from heading down that path and it just becoming a contentious, difficult situation, nitpicking about details. My contract with my partner is one page, but it really sets the tone. It declares what the intention and purpose of our relationship is, what we're about and who we want to be in that relationship, and what are some of the simple agreements that we commit to in supporting one another on that journey. And that's been like a clarion call. I love that you used the word inauthentic or not being authentic about, you know, what's really happening for us or what we really want. And putting that conscious effort into creating a contract really requires, when you're putting it down in writing and being clear with one another, really requires some careful reflection that brings clarity. Brings clarity to the purpose of the relationship. And for me, that's been so empowering, so opening in the relationship for authenticity to flow, because we're clear about what our values are and what we're about.
Could you imagine doing that with each family member?
Yeah, exactly. And having a real opportunity to engage individual family members with, hey, what do you want our relationship to be about? What's important? As part of the Family Matters Project, one of my encouragements for families, leading up to the Family Day weekend is just to ask your kids, what matters to you? What makes you happy? I mean, you ask a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, you know, what really matters to you? What makes you happy? And they're like little Buddhas. They'll tell you the secret of life in 10 words or less. And that's really an opportunity to sort of reevaluate if we're living in alignment with what's most important to us as a family and in our relationships.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, isn't it? I mean, kids are really clear about what they want, what makes them happy. As we age, you know, we have a lot of filters. We've had a lot of disappointment. Again, it's these expectations that we have, these undefined expectations. We have needs that probably aren't being met, that may never have been met. And because of that, we don't know how to communicate that. We don't know how to even request it. A lot of people have difficulty asking for help. So it's, you know, there's just so much that we could do. And I mean, wouldn't it be fabulous if if for Christmas dinner or your holidays that you asked everybody? I mean, a lot of times at Thanksgiving, and I know we just had the American Thanksgiving this past weekend. So a lot of people, you know, at Thanksgiving ask, you know, or state what they're grateful for. But how often do we ask our family and, you know, individually, as if not as a unit, you know, what can we do for you, or what would make you happy? I mean, it's a fascinating topic because, you know, I don't think people think like that when they're in their, you know, their family dynamics. They're usually, you know, usually, and it's not really about being selfish, but because we aren't really taught how to meet each other's needs, because there's usually a lot of dysfunction because of the disappointment, because of the filters, because of the parents' parents' parents who passed down the same behaviors, and we learn the same things. Because of all that, I mean, we really do have difficulty asking for what we want, knowing what we want, and then we have all these, you know, needs that are clearly different than what would make us happy. But so we have these expectations, and it just, it gets so messy with regards to our family relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all that legacy of whatever's gone on, not only the current generation, but previous generations of this is how family is. And I think you touch on something really important there when you're bringing up that a lot of times people don't realize or even believe it's possible to have a different experience. This is just the way family is. And so much of that stems from what you were pointing out about, yeah, we just don't know what we want. We're just not clear about what we really need. And even when we are, we're not really sure how to go about creating that in our relationships, how to ask for it, how to share it together and have it provided. So there's so much opportunity there in courageous conversation with family, to create that clarity, which really puts under a lens, oh, this is what I really want. This is what's important to me. This is what I value. Then we're living genuinely, right? Then we have an opportunity to be clear about our values and living in alignment with them. And out of that simple transition, taking the focus off, you know, what's not working or what's wrong or how we're hurt, and just momentarily switching into a conversation that's about what's possible and what do we want? What do we really need for our happiness and fulfillment? Then there's doors opening left, right, and center that we can walk through. And maybe that looks like, okay, let's talk with some other families about how have they created what they have that we want? How have they gone down this path of, you know, courageous conversation leading to a different experience of family? And it doesn't have to be rocket science or difficult. It can be as simple as just checking in and saying, hey, this weekend, you know, let's talk about blank. And let's talk about, you know, what's our purpose? What would be a meaningful, you know, vision for us to fulfill on? What's our family mission? What are we about? Is it about, you know, just, you know, going through the motions? Or do we want a different experience? Do we want to have like, yeah, fun, courage, and love for one another? What does that look like?
You know, you made a huge piece that probably a lot of people would relate to, is that we usually look at our wounds. We usually look at all the things that happened that caused pain. And when we think of our family, I mean, we're such a victim society where we seem to value groups on victimization. And because of that, we've learned to identify problems instead of looking for solutions, or instead of, you know, switching it around, like you said, to ask, you know, what do we want? Like, what do we value? What is, you know, what is the most we can even expect in something, but without the blame, without the shame, without all of the baggage that tends to come when we think about our family situation. And it's very easy to blame somebody else for things that have been going on. And because of the way we've sort of valued victimization, we've become quite adept at it. So we're very good at being able to identify all the problems and where they came from and blame those people. And that, I mean, that's where, you know, forgiveness comes in. But would it be interesting if we could completely let go of all of that and just come from a different perspective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally suffer from the disability you're talking about, that is focusing on the negative or seeing problems instead of seeing the possibility, seeing the positive opportunities. Definitely in my training as an engineer, I was problem oriented for many years of my life in that career. And so I have this tendency to focus on problems. And so my journey in relationships a lot. And this is where my partner Karen serves me so well. She's always a clarion call for what's possible, for what we can be grateful for what's working, for what's positive, for what's in front of us as perfection unfolding. And that simple shift, even if it's just for a few minutes, where we look at, hey, this is really a great opportunity for, then that's so empowering. Then we're in a place of being able to create something and looking at it in a way that's, you know, hopeful and energizing and exciting, versus being, you know, debilitating, victim-y, blaming, complaining. That's an uplifting place to come from in any relationship. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing in my experience is it doesn't matter what's happening in your family that you're dealing with. It only takes one person to change the dance. And so we're so often fall into this trap of like, oh, my family situation's never going to improve because, you know, my mom or my dad or my siblings, they're always this, that, or the other thing. But it only takes us. It only takes one person to change the dance in any relationship. And then the whole family dynamic shifts. Everything changes with one person's choice.
Right. And I guess that's fascinating. We're going to go to break. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters. We're talking about family and a great project that John Cotton is putting on. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts, over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced, and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better? Why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. Today, I am talking with John Cotton. He is creating a fascinating discussion on family matters. It's a project that really is geared to a Canadian holiday that we have in February. It kind of came about because they wanted to give us a break in February instead of making us wait until Easter after the main holidays in December and January. So it kind of is a day that most people probably don't do anything with their family. However, it is a long weekend here, which allows us that opportunity. And you're wanting to help, you know, raise communication with people. Now, you're doing it in different ways. I mean, obviously in Toronto, there's going to probably be more things happening, but you're going to create an online community. And let's talk about that.
Yeah, great. It's an opportunity for that conversation to get started online, but before it happens locally in the Toronto area. So I see a collaboration both between helping professionals and some of the leaders in the project, as well as parents just chiming in online about, hey, what is it that's important to you? And having that conversation get started. And that'll even be an opportunity to guide some of what happens at the local event in terms of the topics we address, the helping experts we bring in, the conversations that happen there more in depth, where families can come and get some, you know, some training, some practical knowledge and tools to engage particular topics of conversation. I see the online forum as really the jumping board, the springboard for shaping that event in the community.
And what will that look like? Like, how do you, I mean, you're bringing in some experts, you're asking people to join your project. How do you envision it happening?
I see a meeting place between helping professionals and families in the community. There's been a lot of interest expressed in the helping community here in Toronto. I've been really fortunate to reach out to several charitable organizations, mm-hmm. several helping professionals independently operating. The response has been great. There's a lot of really amazing and powerful people that have been contributing and willing to contribute to this conversation. And so I see a meeting place between what they have to offer and the knowledge and tools that they can provide, and families and what they're about, what matters to them, what they want to create. And in that meeting place, online, I envision a Facebook community, a place for people to connect and start that conversation. In that meeting place, I expect awesome things to emerge. just through conversation, possibility will sprout up. It'll grow like weeds, and we'll pluck some of those. We'll have an opportunity to say, okay, these ones are really hot for parents or for families right now. These are the things that are really going on that are providing opportunities for growth and engagement and social discourse. And we may focus on those when we plan a local event here. Now, ideally, I mean, I would love to see similar events independently organized by others who are inspired, and who want to host that kind of thing in their local community. Anyone who's so inspired and feels like that's a meaningful and worthwhile enterprise, even if it's around, you know, in the States or somewhere else, it doesn't have to be around the Canadian Family Day holiday. It can be around any family-oriented experience. Creating a community-driven event where you bring in families and get them engaged in conversation and invite helping professionals to come and contribute to that conversation can be a recipe for amazing things to emerge in your community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm envisioning, you know, Facebook and, you know, people coming in with their thoughts. And I mean, I'm assuming you're going to probably monitor it or ask other people to assist you with that. I mean, it could become quite a forum for discussion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We have some folks on the team for Family Matters that are already committed to helping create that moderated forum so that the discussion is positive, you know, meaningful and productive. And if there's others out there who are interested in joining that conversation and helping with that role, they can be in contact with me and join the project as a leader. You don't have to actually be in Toronto to participate in that way.
Right. And are you going to also have something on your website? I know that your personal website is genuinecoaching.ca. Are you going to have anything on that? Or are you going to have a new website?
We're hoping to create an independent website so that we can list partners and collaborators with the project and provide information. For now, I think what will happen is that the contributors to the project, the partners independently, whether it's the charitable organizations or the folks like yourself who are contributing, will link to the online community as a driver for making that, making folks aware of that place for collection. And as the project grows, we'll develop an independent website and online presence where, that can be an anchor point for the ongoing communication.
Nice. Yeah, it is really fascinating. And I love how, we're looking at, all the different things. I mean, there are a lot of things that can have an effect on how our family interacts together. And I know we talked about a bunch of different things, but I mean, you've listed, the living family values, families in transition. That's a huge one. Do you want to talk about some of the different areas or topics that you think are probably going to be something that, people need help with?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One of the biggest ones that comes up for me in my work with coaching is communication in general, effective, assertive communication, and especially listening. Listening seems to be, repeatedly touted as the most important skill, both for families and in business, but often the least appreciated, the least implemented skill. So we know there's a huge gap in most communication with listening and effective listening. And it just is, it's not a difficult bridge to cross with some simple tools and some training. But for most people who've never had the opportunity to engage in a conscious communication, listening is just sort of this weird thing that, listening is what happens when you're taking a breath waiting to say what you want to say next. It's not an active process that people engage with. So listening in ways that really invite the people in the family or in your relationships, to disclose and share honestly so they feel heard and valued and appreciated for what they bring to the conversation. That's a key point. Effective communication will be definitely something that we talk about in an ongoing sense. Another one is family values and living those values. Like really asking what's authentic for us? What's genuine? What makes for a good life? What if we lived up to and aspired to, would we look at the end of our lives and say, ah, yes, that was a virtuous life. That was a worthwhile family purpose. That was what really mattered. What are those things? And how do we talk about them in concrete ways that they show up in our actions and in our communication with one another? Take simple virtues, like a virtue of kindness or a virtue of tolerance or compassion. They're great words, but what do they look like in action? How do they show up when we're actually implementing them, when we're actually living them and embodying them? That's another key conversation that I think is worth having. And then in terms of like, living that mission, communicating effectively with one another and embodying the virtues, whatever stands in the way of that comes up. And I see families dealing with so much. I see families dealing with, mental health, risky behaviors from the internet to sex to alcohol and drugs for teens. They're dealing with transitions, like we said, separation, divorce. Even myself personally, I'm part of a blended family. There's step family dynamics that go on there. Learning to deal consciously with that and embrace the non-traditional forms of family is a huge challenge. Mental health, attention deficit, depression, anxiety, even teen suicide. These are all real things that families deal with and may need community support to converse about and work through.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are all really big things, but I still agree with your first one. I think the biggest thing is communication. I mean, there are, family in transition, that's a unique situation that doesn't seem to be so unique anymore. I mean, it's really something that is, becoming more and more frequent in most family situations. Risky behaviors, those are things that people want to avoid at all costs. Nobody wants to discuss these things. Nobody wants to, nobody knows how to deal with them. And I mean, it's interesting because I have a few clients actually where their kids are really addicted to the internet gaming. Mm-hmm. And how that impacts their schooling and how it impacts their personality and how it just, I mean, these are things that are, can be very, very difficult. But again, it all leads to if you can't effectively communicate. And of course, when we're dealing with kids, we also have to have them be able to communicate, which is, can be quite challenging depending on their age level and their emotional level. So it can be a little bit more challenging when we're dealing with children under a certain age. But, you know, learning how to communicate is the key to everything.
Mm-hmm. And all of those later challenges that we touched on, I mean, they're all rooted in how we approach them through communication. Risky behaviors, for example, like, they're really only risky when we're not talking about them. They're really only dangerous, you know, when they're hidden away. And there's no conversation for the kids to engage in and really talk about. Like one of the experiences we've had with the kids is they'll let you know how much they need to know. And they'll let you know when they've had enough and they need to process, right? We can talk about sex or alcohol or drugs in the family. And the kids, especially when they were a little bit younger, they'd say, okay, that's enough. I'm good now. Thanks. You know, and then some time would go by and they'd come back and there'd be an opportunity for further conversation and asking a few questions. Well, what does it mean when, you know, and then they'd hit their limit again and okay, I'm good now. Thanks. So there's a sort of an ongoing opportunity that kids are usually pretty happy to drive through their natural curiosity, through their need to explore, through their desire for understanding and grappling with the world, that if there's an environment of open dialogue, of encouraged communication, of, you know, sensitive empathy and really listening to what they have to say and want to know about, kids are often the ones who will open those doors to those meaningful conversations if you let them, if you don't shut them down too soon, prematurely. Sometimes one of the challenges for parents is, you know, wanting to protect your kids and in so doing, you know, protecting them even from talking about the things that could be dangerous to them. And that really doesn't protect them at all. That robs them of the opportunity to develop their own protection through awareness, you know, through some understanding and through some guidance from a loving authority figure.
You know, I think that raises a huge issue with regards to, you know, how we're kind of blocking communication. But I mean, I think, you know, it's important to, I guess in every area, it's important to feel supported. And whether you're a child or a parent, you know, we need to feel supported and we need to have our needs met, which brings us back to the first segment, which, you know, a lot of times we don't know what those needs are. But, you know, mental health has taken such a huge interest. And so therefore, you know, I think we have more terms to identify some things that are going on. But, you know, it's all of these areas, they're so key. And, you know, we really need to learn to that listening aspect, you know, that's so important. And that can create the difference that most kids need, to understand that, you know, they are being supported and parents as well. I mean, I think we all need to feel supported. And, you know, listening is one of those gifts. I think that's why we have counselors and therapists is, you know, we need to be able to offer that space for people. It really is a service that is undervalued in the whole scheme of our lives, but yet is such a key and critical piece for people to to feel understood. I mean, I think that's, you know, they say in relationships, women want to feel safe and men want to be understood. And I'm thinking that those two kind of become intertwined with each other, that they may be the priorities at the top, but they sort of come together for everybody. And when someone's a good listener, you start to feel like you're actually understood. And communication just, it's just that this huge piece that I think we, you know, we take for granted. And we, like you said earlier, it's like we don't think families can change. So we don't try to change. We don't try to shift the conversation. We don't do a lot of things because we think we're stuck in a certain place and it has to be that way because it's been that way for 40 years, 50 years. And we don't think that, you know, opening up a communication dialogue can actually make a difference. And what you're doing here is letting people know that it really can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's two aspects of that. Like, I appreciate that you touched on understanding as a key element in communication. So I've just recently blogged about this myself, where I've talked about, relationships. They live and breathe on understanding, a continuous exchange of understanding. Understanding is like oxygen. It's air in relationships. And when the understanding stops flowing between two people, they start suffocating in that relationship. And people in relationship who aren't being understood will respond in very similar panicky ways to really like suffocating physically. Thrashing about, flailing about emotionally, you know, taking extreme measures to try and return some of that air to breathe again in relationship where there's not understanding. And I see this so often in our family when there's misunderstanding, when there's a lack of understanding between, say, you know, mom and teen or me and a youngster. If there's a insufficient understanding being exchanged about, you know, what's your experience? What's happening for you? How do you really feel? Then the only recourse to having that understanding, to really getting that, is to escalate. So we escalate how we feel. You know, a teenager is really great at escalating how they feel until someone recognizes and understands them. That's really the only strategy they have at that point. But unfortunately, that's really the only strategy that many of us have because we've never learned a new way to be understood, to communicate, and to receive understanding. So I really appreciate that you touched on understanding, and I think it's complementary to safety because when we're understood, then we're in a safe place. Someone's listening. Someone gets us. Oh, thank God, someone gets me. That's a really safe experience, and it makes possible all kinds of openings and new possibilities in family and in relationships, because suddenly we're not dealing with the past. We're not dealing with what's been in the way. We're dealing with what's really happening right now. What's really going on? And through that, we can really explore, you know, where do we want to go from here? And the second side to that is like just not being alone. Communication opens so much for connection, especially between families, and this is part of the intent of the Family Matters Project, is it's terrifying to go through some of these things as a family when you think you're the only family dealing with some of these challenging situations, transition, mental health, risky behaviors, teens in all kinds of adventure. Going through that alone and thinking that you're the only family that's dealing with that is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And knowing through communication and connection with community that, hey, the whole village is dealing with the same thing. That's really an encouraging and empowering place to come from, not to do it alone as a family.
I agree. We're going to go to our next break. You are listening to News for the Heart. We're getting to the heart of what matters, and we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on BMajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities.
I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired, through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts, over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to, as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions, or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We've been talking with John Cotton on his project about family matters. And yes, it relates to a Canadian holiday, but it really relates to everybody because we all have issues around family. Now, if you want more information about John and what John's doing on in a work situation, you can go to genuinecoaching.ca. That's genuinecoaching.ca. When we get more information about the online community, I will be posting it on the page for this interview so that you can find out more about how to help John. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, what you need to get this project really flowing in the way you would like to see it unfold.
Yeah, thanks. It's at this point in the project, since it's a relatively new initiative, we're really looking for community leaders, folks who are passionate about family values, whose interests already align, and who want to partner on the project. Now, that may be you as an individual parent, someone in your community who you're connected with the other parents and you recognize a need. You want to be actively involved in helping bring this to your community. Maybe you're listening and you're part of an organization, maybe part of a charitable organization or a professional organization, and your mandate is already serving families. You're already passionate about that. And this project aligns with what you do already. In fact, it could augment or enhance your service and your contribution to the world just by getting behind the social discourse and the movement to make Family Day and the awareness around it an opportunity for engaging families. And finally, like if you're someone who really wants to, you know, have an impact on shaping the future of Family Day, especially in Canada, and establishing social traditions around it, then I invite any of those kinds of people to be in touch. You can communicate with me through the website and contact me there. And we can have a conversation about what it looks like to contribute to the Family Matters Project and be a leader in your community.
Okay. So, can you be any more specific as to things that you're actually looking for? I mean, obviously, you want more media attention. That's partly some of the things I'm working on. But I mean, you need people to be able to monitor. I mean, what do you see?
Yeah, if you're if you've got passions around family and you have online expertise, both in web development or in social media, those kinds of folks would be great to help us, you know, establish a community, develop an awareness around the presence of that community and really begin to engage people to show up and have those conversations. If you like participating in the conversations online and you want to mediate and help moderate posts and contribute to like a Facebook page, I invite you to definitely contact us, because there'll be lots of opportunities for those kinds of contributions.
Okay. Now, you yourself, you've come from the corporate world, and you're now self-employed, and you do your own coaching. Do you want to offer what you do that's different, or what you do that you'd like to bring more awareness of who you are?
Yeah, thanks. For me, genuine coaching is very much aligned with what we're talking about here in the Families Matters Project. There's a real synergy of passions there for me. Coaching is a way of, you know, creating amazing results in your life. And I say genuine coaching is creating the results that are actually aligned with what you value most. And so what I do, and what I help people do individually or with couples or in a family situation, is to really connect with what's genuine for them, what their values really are, and then to communicate powerfully to create those changes, to live in alignment with what their hearts really desire. And for me, that's really, I say it's a spiritually oriented and communication-based approach. And the spiritual part is those values, is the aspect of the human spirit that goes beyond whatever we're dealing with in our frailty and our humanity. It's the principles of love and consideration and courage and trust that we have in one another. And those are spiritual values that we can aspire and live up to. And for me, the most effective way to embody those is through how we communicate with one another, how we approach relationships and talk to one another in our day-to-day lives.
And you really got this from buying a house?
It's a big part of the awareness, but really it's come from a number of life experiences and sources. The particular inspiration for the contract definitely came from the mortgage. But the love of people and relationships and communication comes from so much of my life experience and mistakes that I've made in relationship. And just didn't know a different way of living, that now I'm passionate about sharing what's possible, what can be different for people, both in their family lives, in their intimate relationships, and with their relationship to themselves. Cause that's one thing I've definitely struggled with my whole life is, how to build a successful relationship with myself and how to communicate lovingly and courageously with myself. That's a key relationship that often gets overlooked.
Definitely. Definitely something that we like to talk about here on the show. we want to try and fix and heal and change everybody else, but really, if it doesn't start with us, and really we can't change or fix or heal anybody else, we can just really work on ourselves. But yeah, what made you go into this instead of engineering?
Well, I still have a love of engineering. Engineering's very much, applying sound principles to deal with what's really going on. What are we facing? You know, what do we want to create? Mm-hmm. So there's real overlap in that approach and the work that I do now. I always found in engineering work that, the biggest problems and the most challenging problems to solve were always people problems. They were never the technical or the engineering problems. They were always the people problems. And so I've always found myself in a situation where either because I was contributing to the problem, which wasn't uncommon for a long period of my life, or because I started to find a way through listening and communication to resolve some of those problems, that's really informs the approach I take to my coaching work too. And it, like I said before about the dance in relationships, it only takes one person to change. Lots of people ask me, you know, I'd love to do some couples coaching, but my partner, you know, they're not, I'd love to get my family into a facilitated conversation, but they're not really. I say, come, bring yourself, bring just you. That's a great opportunity to grow and to change who you are and how you show up. And through that responsibility and taking ownership of what's going on for you, you can have a massive influence on anyone in your life.
Nice. Well, John, it's been
a pleasure. I think what you're trying to do is a great project. Obviously, the fact that I'm in Toronto, I may be able to partake in a little bit more than anybody else is listening, but I really encourage people because this is such a huge, it's such a huge problem in our society, how, you know, we've allowed blame and we've allowed our lack of communication to really identify us. And it really needs to change. And I think, you know, this is probably one of the most instrumental places where we can make change. It's in our family and how we communicate with our family. So family matters. I hope, you know, maybe this year, because it's, you know, coming up kind of soon, it's in only February, and, you know, a lot of the things that you're trying to do may take more time. But I think, you know, I think that the fact that you're doing it and the fact that this is a project that can really impact a lot of people's lives, I salute you. I think that this is, you know, a great endeavor to take upon yourself.
Thanks, Lori, and thanks for having me on the show to have communication about the importance of communication in families. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, again, we've been getting to the heart of what matters. We've been talking about Family Matters with John Cotton. Again, you can reach him if you want to connect with him at his website, genuinecoaching.ca. All right. We will end for today, and we will be back next week. So you've been listening to News for the Heart. Thank you. And thanks, John.
Thanks, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.